What is happening, Dolphins fans, and welcome to another episode of the Fins Tailgate with your host, El Capitan. Tonight, on the tailgate party that never seems to stop, we're going to get into a little bit of the sentiment going on mainstream media from ESPN and NFL Network and, you know, the talking heads, as well as the sentiment on social media amongst, you know, fans. We've had Tua Tagovailoa's contract signed and Jordan Love's contract signed. And now that the dust has kind of settled a little bit and, you know, people have been able to digest what's happened, because it's been a long time coming. I mean, for months now, all these two fan bases and the NFL has talked about for most of this offseason has been Jordan Love, Tua Tagovailoa, even Dak Prescott. These guys looking for contracts, you know, funny enough, all three quarterbacks are represented by Athletes First. And when Tua signed his deal, the Jordan Love deal came right afterwards. I'm sure that had no coincidence in it at all, but whatever. Anyhow, now that the dust is kind of settled, the feeling and sentiment wise on the two contracts is starkly different between how people are saying the Dolphins did with Tua versus to how, you know, what the Packers are getting with Love. And the energy is a lot different. We're going to address a little bit of that. Before we do, guys, hit the like button on the way in. Subscribe if you're new. If you're listening on Twitch, Twitter, X, Facebook, wherever, or you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all the good places that we're found now, come on over here to YouTube, hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, leave some comments, get in the live chats on the show, check out all the good programming we have here on the network, just be a part of the program. It's a whole different vibe, but we're gonna get into a little bit of the differences between how people are acting with Tua and their takes on it and the differences with Love. So let's get right into it. Yes. Welcome again to another episode of the Fins Tailgate with your host, El Capitan. Hit the like button on the way in. So, real quick, you know, I just want to say this. This is not meant to be a dig at Jordan Love or anything like that, because there is going to be some opposites that I'm going to point out that I'm noticing out here. But, you know, listen, in their respective fan bases, amongst Dolphin fans, there are certain people who don't like Tua, are never going to believe in him until, you know, he wins the AFC championship game or just whatever, until they see it. And to them, the Dolphins should have never signed him. This was a terrible deal. There's others that, you know, are still on the fence about Tua. They're not excited about the money being spent, but they're not going to turn their nose up at it either. Right. And then there's people that Tua could have done no wrong. He deserves this and more money. The Dolphins owe him more, and they're crazy about it, right? And that's, I'm sure, that same type of reaction and differences in the fan base is true for the Green Bay Packers. I'm sure there's plenty of people that think that Jordan Love doesn't deserve this contract. But the sentiment, for the most part, in the mainstream media seems to be, well, the consensus is that Jordan Love, good. Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins, they pay him, they're paying him too much. They shouldn't have paid this guy. He doesn't deserve it. And no more of this type of reaction is, I mean, it's perfectly set. So, I mean, I'm on social media. I'm out here in these streets, for lack of a better term. I see the reactions. I see what people are saying. And this is kind of what a lot of people are saying. And by a lot of what I mean, this is Chris Canty on ESPN Radio with his show Unsportsmanlike Conduct. He had a take and disagreement, and now this is fine. I do have some rebuttals to his disagreement on why I think his, I don't want to say he's wrong because it's an opinion, right? But there's so many people that are saying these exact same things that Chris Canty is saying on his radio show here on ESPN that I have a perfect rebuttal to it. And I'm going to go ahead and just play you a little bit of the audio. Sorry about the quality of the audio. It's the best I could do in short notice, but we're going to break it down a little bit. So here it is.
The guy is 1-6 last year against teams with a winning record. Overall, against teams with a winning record in the National Football League, he's 7-14, 60% completion percentage, 225 yards a game, 28 touchdowns, 18 picks, and an 84.3 passer rating. That's not $53 million a year and 167 guaranteed.
So a lot to unpack there, right? He threw some stats out. And now, listen, I'm not necessarily trying to push back on the reality of the situation, right? Like he says that Tua was 1-6 against winning opponents last season. That's true. They only beat the Cowboys. They lost to other teams that, you know, a lot of AFC teams at that. And that's the facts, you know. All time, he's 7-14 against winning opponents in the NFL. So, again, not a really good stat, and I understand the hesitation because I'm here watching the games. I'm calling the games on Sunday. I'm not happy when I see him come up short in these games, and I'm not saying that I haven't seen that, and I've been critical of it, right? He also says 60% completion percentage. He's averaging 225 yards a game. He got 28 touchdowns last year with 18 picks. And his passer rating is 84.3. And I mean, this is not like these are gaudy numbers. And when you say, oh, this man's getting paid $53 million a year, which is top tier quarterback money, you have a legitimate gripe, right? Now, I'm going to put a little bit of context on a couple things. First thing being that $53 million a year, right? We went and broke down just last Sunday, Color and I, and you should be able to find it on the podcast too. The language in the contract, the guaranteed at signing money, which is completely different, the guaranteed money, and where the Dolphins have a reasonable out to pivot. And if you guys have been listening to me all offseason, you've heard me say this probably 100,000 times that, you know, once the Dolphins didn't draft a quarterback in this year's draft, which didn't look like they were going to this past draft anyhow, all the contracts signed, all the money, all the allocation, the draft pick, everything is pointing towards the Dolphins riding this team in a three-year window. And what I mean by the three-year window, 2024, 2025, 2026. And Tua Tagovailoa's contract further affirms what I see on paper, what I tend to believe that Chris Greer and this management team is with coaching staff, that they are going to continue the route that they're on, and rightfully so, for the next 3 years. I mean, this is not the Miami Dolphins, Adam Gase, and Mike Tannenbaum era. This is a head and shoulders above where we have been in recent memory. Okay, it's the truth. That being said, would I have liked with Tua's, you know, leading passer last year? That's a feather in his cap. Top and top five quarterback stats in every category, dang near, in 2023. Would I have liked to still see more? Absolutely. But I'm not going to penalize Tua for getting paid, and he's coming into his fifth year. Now, let's call for what you want. We're not going to throw the blame game around here, but I'm going to speak on some facts. There was mishandling up and down the first 2 years with Tua Tagovailoa. Number one, it was COVID year. You know, Tua came in injured from that devastating hip injury. So that was its own obstacles and stuff that we had to deal with. So I think Dolphins fans, I know how I felt, that that first year was going to be a wash. We weren't going to really be able to use him and know what we're getting in our first round, first overall pick, not overall, but our first overall pick in that year's draft. We didn't know what we were going to get. And I think we all anticipated he was going to sit on ice for the most part of that first year. So it was always going to be a 3-year deal with a 4th-year option with a quarterback coming out. But there was mishandling, and, you know, say what you will, there's plenty of people in this fan base that loved Brian Flores. I was fond of the way he coached, but it's painfully obvious that there was a difference of ideology with management between Flores and everything like that. There was an absolute lack of creativity on offense and willing to work with Tua. And it's just the coaching staff on the offensive side, it just really wasn't there, right? And between the disagreements and the fighting that happened behind the scenes, and we're not going to get into all that, but that alongside with mishandling the quarterback situation and, you know, not really having the offense. Dolphins in mid top prime time of trying to figure out what you got in a rookie quarterback changes directions. They go and hire Mike McDaniel. Now, Mike McDaniel, great turnaround on the offense. But let's not forget that heading into year three with Mike McDaniel, we're now on a third defensive coordinator, which, considering three new defensive coordinators and a coaching change over the last 4 or 5 years, the Dolphins, where they sit currently, their trajectory is still pointing up in a much better way than we've seen in years prior, with a little bit more consistency. Since bringing in Mike McDaniel, at the very minimum, our offense has stability. Our upper management with the coaching staff has stability. The team and everything seems to have a real idea of how they want this to look, and they're working well together to get it done. Now, meanwhile, while pivoting from a head coach, pivoting from an ideology, you got a quarterback that's coming up on a contract. And like I stated earlier, it seems like they're sold on the coach, sold on a lot of the players, sold on the programming. The last piece to solidify for them to be sold over the next couple of years was signing this quarterback. So when you say they should have, you know, left him on the 5th-year option and gathered more data and stuff, I'm not saying that's not a wrong decision to do, but there is some byproducts of doing that that could be problematic, at least for how that I perceive the Dolphins and Chris Greer, what they want and what their plan is. Because with Tua's contract, along with everything else I can see, they're riding this out through 2026, and come 2026 to 2027, they can either A, double down and say, we like where it's going, we're going to extend these guys, we're going to, you know, do this, we're going to do that, or they can pivot and, you know, continue to figure out a different way to go about business. And that could mean a coaching change, quarterback change. It could mean coaching, quarterback, and GM change in 2027, depending on the failures that happened. But I'm going to get to the second part of what Chris Canty says, because I'm going to give a little reply on that next.
And you say they had to pay him. No, they didn't. They had the 5th-year option of $23 million. You had a franchise tag that next year probably would have been around $40 million. You could have franchised him after that for 20% more. I mean, you could have played out the string with Tua Tagovailoa. You could have collected more data points to make a more informed decision, because based on the sample size that we have right now, he's not worth what you're paying him.
So, look, and here's where I'm not going to say his opinion's wrong again, but here's where he's ill-informed in making his consensus opinion. And here's where a lot of people who are saying the Dolphins shot themselves in the foot, you know, that's it, they're cooked, whatever. Here's where the context is getting lost in a lot of this, right? Because, and I've already stated, to me, everything has been pointing to the way this offense, hopefully the defense, and the players in marquee positions that they've drafted have, I mean, even doubling down with, you know, guys like Chop Robinson. Yes, he's going to come in and, you know, probably get quite a bit of snaps while we have guys on IR, but it's not like we don't have pass rushers coming, right? I mean, dang, could you imagine? That's a show for another time. But to me, everything's showing this next 3 years. Now, the Dolphins absolutely could have wrote out his fifth-year option to collect more data. But let's say this, because there's only three possible outcomes that could have happened if the Dolphins didn't extend Tua Tagovailoa. And to me, almost all three of them destroy the three-year window that they really want to remain in, that they have for 2024, 2025, 2026. So first scenario that could have happened if they didn't extend Tua is they could let him ride his fifth-year option. And how could it have planned out? So if they would have let him ride his fifth-year option, it could have, A, gone this way. Could have gone, he balls out, he plays better, and now the Dolphins are in a predicament where they're going to want to keep him. He's solidified himself. They're going to have to pay him a heck of a lot more money, because I don't know any quarterback that doesn't ride their fifth year and perform much better. We're talking 1-2 playoff wins with winning the East or something, right? You're going to pay him the most money. And now it's probably the least worse of the three options if this was was what had happened, because at least you know you got your guy that you're paying all this money to. But then we'll come to that three-year window that they're trying to remain in. It now enters into the 2027, 2028 years. And I'm not saying that it can't be managed, but it's really, it's taken away that 2027 pivot year or double down year across the board with the team. We're talking about team management here, right? So it gets a little more dicey. And, you know, with also with paying him top tier money, you might have to let go of talent earlier than you wanted to, that you could have had in this 3 year window, or that you do now have in this 3 year window. You might not be able to sign talent. You couldn't afford a Javon Holland and a Jalen Phillips, or you can't, you know, you let Javon go or you let Jalen go, and those types of ripple effects become problematic, where, you know, signing them earlier and for the money you have, even if you go for broke in this 3 year window, for the most part, at least you're dealing with what you know, right? The second way this could have gone if he didn't sign it and wrote out his fifth year is that it's the same. In which case, you know, you're kind of stuck with Tua at quarterback, right? Because if he performs the same, now you have to either franchise tag him, let him go, and try to draft somebody new, which that has its own set of problems. Say you're drafting somebody new. Now what? Now you've got to, you know, get this guy up to speed. You know, I don't know, man. Does the talent you possess now, is it going to work out? Not saying a rookie couldn't come in and, you know, play like his hair's on fire and have a whole, you know, same or different or varying success that made it all worth it. But, you know, again, that 3 year window gets a little bit more dicey, right? And then the third scenario that could have happened is, say he comes out and plays terrible or gets injured or something to that effect, in which case your 3 year window is screwed. You're probably going to start, you know, you're definitely going to draft a new quarterback. You're going to have to make financial decisions to purge. You can't expect a rookie to come in year one and keep you inside that 3 year window. You really got to kind of maneuver the can. And now you're thinking about 2026, 2027, 2028, trying to line up that window with this new guy, right? And all this stuff is doable, but it's not what the contracts, what the team has been showing me. And it's a sensible decision, obviously, to stay with what you know and continue to build on it, right? So before we get into second part of a take on Tua and why this is a bad deal for Miami from what was it? ESPN First Take. Harry Douglas had this take, ex-Falcon, on Tua. Before we get into that, make sure you guys again are checking out tftgnetwork.com. The website can help you get all of our apparel, help find all of the sites and everywhere we're on, all social medias. We got great stuff, great swag. It's a great way. All the podcasts are on there. All the YouTube links are on there. There's a great search engine that if you say, you know, look for this shirt, it's going to pop right up. Make sure you guys are checking out tftgnetwork.com.
Get ready to dive into a new role of online shopping with the Fins Tailgate. Whether you're a diehard sports fan or just looking for the latest fashion trends, we've got you covered. With a wide variety of products from your favorite sports teams to stylish accessories and home decor, we're your one-stop shop for all things tailgate. Our easy-to-use website and hassle-free checkout process make shopping with us a breeze. Plus, with frequent sales and discounts, you won't want to shop anywhere else. So come on in and join the party at the Fins Tailgate, your new go-to destination for all things tailgate.
TFTGnetwork.com. Make sure you guys are checking it out. Okay. So we're going to get to on ESPN First Take. Harry Douglas had this to say essentially about Tua Tagovailoa's deal. And, you know, he had some nice things to say, but, you know, it was like a listen. A lot of the people say the same things nice about Tua. The timing, his accuracy, stuff like that. And everyone has plenty of ammunition, at least over the last 2 years. One, him ending, you know, on concussion protocol. And two, that they fizzled out in the final four or five games of the season. But here's Harry Douglas.
I can't ignore the seven games versus the playoff teams going 1-6. What I also can't ignore is the injury history with Tua, right? I would like to see him another year healthy, being able to thrive in this offense like we've seen him a year ago, which was masterful. And I understand that. I get it. But also, I think something that stands out to me is that in their losses, it's not like Tua was the best player on the football field.
Now, okay. Right. Later in the year, teams are banged up. And I hate this excuse, right? I don't want to hear about injury excuses. I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to take it away from the context of this, of the conversation, right? Miami Dolphins defense was decimated in all three levels at the end of the year. Meanwhile, I felt like even though they had a lot of injuries, I felt the defense wasn't shouldering the blame of a lot of the losses that took place at the end of the season either. That being said, guys were banged up. Guys were playing, you know, nicked up. The toll and long hassle of the season was catching up to some of these guys. We know the offensive line had injuries up and down all year round. But again, I don't like these excuses. I do understand the point when people were talking about why the Dolphins shouldn't sign because of injury history, right? Because of needing to prove more. Again, this all working under the assumption that they have an infinite amount of time to work with everything in their take, and that the Dolphins are perceptively further away to them where the Dolphins brass and Chris Greer and company perceive themselves in a 3-year window. And I've talked a lot about this 2024, 2025, 2026. I'm going to say it until people finally understand it, that this is the team for the next 3 years outside of break glass in case of emergency, in which case means if this isn't the same quarterback and coaching staff over the in the next 3 years or between these the next 3 years, it's because everybody lost their jobs. Coach, quarterback, GM, everybody. And I just don't see that happening because, again, their trajectory is pretty good. So let's let Douglas continue.
Because he wasn't. And I look at a game versus the Philadelphia Eagles early on when they were down 7 in the fourth quarter. They needed Tua and their quarterback to make plays from the pocket. Tua weren't able to do that. He got the ball late in the fourth quarter. I look at the Buffalo Bills game last year to seal up the division.
I hated that game.
In the fourth quarter with the game on the line, he wasn't able to do that. That Monday Night Football game that you just mentioned, he wasn't the best quarterback in that game. That was Will Levis.
But he got God, the that Will, in the fourth quarter that, down 28. That Will Levis. Dolphins, fuck, I can't stand that game. That was the beginning of the end for how the team's trajectory just, it went from flattening out to nosediving at the end there. And listen, these are all great points, but still, when you have more things to consider other than answer at quarterback, you have to take the data you do possess for a way in which you manage a football team, right? Tua Tagovailoa, I mean, is it consensus that this guy is going to play his fifth year in the NFL? This is all he's ever going to be? He's not going to get any better? I think on a very minimal base, just knowing more in the NFL, a vat more of knowledge, he'll get better minimally in that aspect, right? Knowing how to read, knowing tendencies of players. I know this pass rusher. I've been going against him for the last X amount of years. I know he does these things well. You know, just stuff like that, or understanding that defensive coordinator, this style of defense, and just the nuances of the game, being a seasoned veteran versus a veteran, right? There's that whole step, especially in quarterbacks. And it's not like competent quarterback play is just lying around in the NFL. You're a Dolphins fan, I'm assuming, if you're watching me right now, unless you're a Packers fan, which I'm going to get to Jordan Love here in just a second. There's to just assume that this is all that there's going to be. I mean, to me, barring injury, Tua is getting better every year. And yeah, there was a lot more to be wanted from year one to year two to year two to year three. But I mean, from year two to year three, and then year three to year four, and hopefully that same type of step up continues. We've got a competent quarterback that has elite skills in accuracy and timing. He sprinkles in a little bit more with some seasoned veteran, and you're doing just fine. Good enough. And I don't feel like the Dolphins bit off more than they can chew in a financial sense either. And what I mean by that is, if you look at what the Dolphins would have had to pay if they were to ride out to a and franchise tag him back-to-back years, they've gone ahead and said, okay, so you got $23 million for this fifth year. His first franchise tag would probably be about $45 million. That gives you $68 million. And then if you were to franchise tag him another year, we're going to call it $50 million. So now you're at $110 plus million, right? Somewhere right around there. $108 to $112 or $15, depending on how quarterback contracts go. The Dolphins are going to give him those 3 years of guaranteed money had they gone that route, plus a little bit more for Tua in good faith, while drawing that definitive line in the sand that they, again, are showing for a potential 2027 double down or pivot year. And that's good enough for me. We have this team. This is what we're riding out. I at least know the plan. I can see the Chris Greer plan for this football team. And there's securities in place while also doing right by Tua. That's a win-win for a guy like me, right? But you're having, and this is just a couple of the talking heads that we've heard today, talk about why they wouldn't have done it. And I'm giving them the reasons the Dolphins could, should, would, and why they did do it. And why Dolphins fans should understand, you know, the plan that's happening here. Why did Tua get this deal? Why didn't they go the route you wanted to go as a Dolphins fan, thinking he should have rid out his fifth-year option, which might not have been the wrong one. But I'm giving you the reasoning behind this. But I also got to ask, not just Dolphin fans, and I want you guys to get in the comments, but, you know, people across social media and, you know, other fans of other teams. Why is it just, oh, Dolphins should have waited. Packers, smart deal. Jordan Love has got 8 games in the NFL that I could say, yeah, that looks like a real guy. But let's not act like Jordan Love is playing in the AFC, that he's got to go through the same type of gauntlet us Dolphins got to go through. He's not facing the best quarterbacks in the NFL all the time. I mean, what does the NFC have for the best quarterbacks, right? I mean, we're going to say Purdy, which Purdy's good. I don't think he's any more or any less elite than guys like Tua, right? I think Tua's a little bit more dynamic. I think Purdy's good. I think he's damn good. Jared Goff, I like me and Jared Goff now. I'm not throwing shade on Jared Goff. That guy he's a great quarterback. And, dude, he made the Lions relevant, right? But Stafford's good. But again, even the teams that we're naming here, and they're good teams. We're talking about Patrick Mahomes. We're talking about Lamar Jackson. We're talking about, you know, now even C.J. Stroud in the AFC. We're talking about, you know, say what you will, Joe Burrow. You're talking about Justin Herbert, you know, Lamar Jackson, freaking phenom. See what I'm getting at here? I'm not trying to dog the NFC, but Jordan Love having an 8-game sample size that makes you comfortable to sign, and everyone's just rubber stamping that, saying, yeah, that makes sense. Applauding the Green Bay Packers. And I'm not dumb. If I was going to measure Tua Tagovailoa and Jordan Love, and all things were equal outside of the two of them, and I'm not going to go off any of the other data, I can see the athleticism, the size, the mobility, the arm strength, and why that is appealing, right? I'm not crapping on Jordan Love, but you're not going to show me all the things Jordan Love is and does, and all the things Tua is and does, and say that this is a sure thing and this isn't, because that's what we're hearing out here. And I'm not going to let the cap continue. El Capitan is stopping all the cap right now. All right? I'm not interested in it. This nonsense that, you know, there was Jeff Darlington said a little bit, and I thought it was really smart. The impression people are giving by this tendency towards these two quarterbacks that got paid is that Tua needs to earn it. And him playing his rookie year, you know, all 4 years, he needs to wait longer for his money that he's earned. Meanwhile, you're showing that it's best to sit and wait a couple years and put together a small sample size of really good football play, and that's worthy of being paid, versus to the guy taking the road less traveled, because it's a harder road, right? It's a bad precedent to set. And to me, it's an unfair criticism to have that on Tua while standing on over here and saying Jordan Love is fine. They made the right decision to extend Jordan Love. And the Dolphins made the wrong. I'm not interested in it. And that's how I know a lot of this stuff, and a lot of it is about clicks and grabs and haters, right? There's just the Tua moves the needle. You know, say what you want. Green Bay got a lot of fans and really great fans at that. I've always enjoyed, even when Dolphins have played against them, and you know, I'm at either a game or a local bar with them, and we're smack talking. They're sports town fans. I can vibe with them, right? Not like you Bills fans. I don't like you guys. Some of y'all, right? But anyhow, you know, it's I'm not going to stand for it. I don't think us Dolphin fans should stand for it. Feel how you want about Tua. And like all the measurables of a guy like Jordan Love, but there, Jordan Love is every more. I mean, statistically, he's just as likely, if not more likely, to nosedive into Nowheresville. And if it happens, say Jordan Love just completely tanks, he's not even a top 15 quarterback, and they miss the playoffs and all that stuff, it'll be less surprising in hindsight. Going, oh yeah, that's right, he only played 8 games. Whereas if Tua completely dies off the deep end and it's not related to injury, that would be far superior, more surprising because of the sample size we have of both these guys in the NFL. So I don't understand the miscommunication here. Why? And I want you guys in the comment section, tell me why all the love for Love and why the adverse of hate towards Tua. I get it. Tua gets the hate. I've given it to him. Sometimes he deserves it. I don't watch Jordan Love and the Packers like that. But from what is digestible to me and what I'm seeing, and, you know, I know there's those people out there who be like, well, Packers fans are better fans to their quarterback than Dolphins fans are. I don't want to hear that nonsense. I'm a Dolphins fan, not a quarterback fan. And my quarterback is signed, and I'm going to be the best fan to him, because this is my guy right now. But I'm also going to have my level of expectation and output for a guy who's making hundreds of millions of dollars. He'll make every bit of $160 million the next 3 years. So that comes with that type of expectations too. But I'm not gonna you know, be off of him at the drop of a hat either. But get at me in the comment section, guys. Let me know. Why do you think Love is getting the love and Tua is getting the hate? Is it as simple as haters? Is it as simple as the algorithm out there, you know, pushes the hate towards Tua because he moves the needle? Is it, you know, they're trying to prop up Jordan Love in that Green Bay market that they love to have be in the spotlight? I don't know. I'd like to hear from you guys, though. So make sure to share this video. Hit the like button. If you're listening on anywhere and everywhere, come to YouTube. Subscribe over here. And we'll see you guys next time.